Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Tired of nicks, cuts, and bumps? It's time to ditch the blade. Nair, the award-winning number one hair removal brand, gives you silky, smooth skin in as little as 3 minutes. That's smooth that lasts for days longer than shaving. Easy to use, blade-free, dermatologist tested, and made for all skin types. Plus, discover our new sensational fragrances that turn hair removal into a whole vibe. Shave less, glow more. Find Nair at all major retailers.
Okay, welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, Tuesday, August 5th. Today, we are doing a review of The Naked Gun, a movie that we have praised to the point where I get accused now of taking money from Paramount. Like, that's become a regular thing. Anytime I talk about it now, it's people are like, you obviously took a deal with Paramount to promote this movie.
Kirk reached out and was like, is it actually good? I was like, yes, it's really
it's
good.
It's actually good. It's fucking with you.
Yes.
And I think that the positive word of mouth from the people that have seen it has reinforced that, and the fact that it made $17 million in its opening weekend, which for comedy in 2025
with is old
like
actors?
Yes. With old like actors. And when you think about Liam Neeson, it was his highest grossing first weekend, I think they said, in like 15 years.
Since Taken 3.
Since Taken 3. Wow. Jesus. So like 10 years. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's going to be fun to talk about. We've been waiting to talk about this for a while. Me and Gucci seen it for, I think, a month ago now. You've seen it. You've seen it at least 2 weeks, right?
I saw it with you guys. Yeah. I saw it with you, both of you guys at the screening.
Yeah, so you were stuck like waiting on it for two. You had a video filmed with Tommy and Robbie for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes.
That you've been sitting on for a while. Yeah.
I thought about going again last night. I was very close.
Yeah.
Very, very close to my third time. And it's not that we're taking pay to speak the praises on this, but I do think this is like a future investment in our own future happiness. Like, yeah, we sing the praises of this comedy film, we get more comedy films in the future, I'll be laughing my ass off 2 years from now at another comedy.
That's the thing. I think I tweeted back at somebody as much. I was like, listen, like, I'm not singing this movie's praises for money. I'm doing it because it's a comedy in theaters that's good. And if I want as many people as humanly possible to go to that. If it's Paramount, great. If it's a different studio, wouldn't care. It's not nothing to do with Paramount or a different studio or whatever. I just want people to go and see a comedy in movie theaters and then get more people to invest in these. And there's actually a funny story about how this movie came to be and how Akiva Schaffer pitched it to Paramount.
Oh, yeah, very I saw funny. That.
But before that, just want to hit on some news really quick, and also we'll be doing a combined ranking of comedies from the 90s as a little bit of homage, both to the fact that two of the Naked Gun movies came out in the 90s, and also Clemmer. 90s, you're a 90s movies guy.
Yes, absolutely. 90s guy, I think. Yeah, I mean,
it's
the greatest decade.
But first, again, a little bit of movie news. Let's start out with the fact that Steven Knight is officially tapped to write Denis Villeneuve's Bond. Steven Knight did a couple of very good things, I would say, especially in the TV world. Peaky Blinders, which is excellent. Taboo, which is a very good short-lived series that I feel like everyone I know that's seen it loved it. Also, SAS Rogue Heroes, which is like a, I believe that's on like MGM Plus or one of those weird networks, but I watched it and it was awesome. It was about like the desert rats in World War II. He also wrote the movie Burnt, with Bradley Cooper chef movie, and also a bunch of other not great movies like Allied. He wrote Lockdown, which was, that's one of the worst movies.
Was that the COVID movie?
COVID movie with Anne Hathaway.
Yeah. That was terrible.
And The Girl in the Spider's Web, which is a very bad entry into the, what do you call that franchise? I don't even remember.
The Girl in the Spider's Web.
Yeah, that was the one with Rooney Mara.
Oh, is that the like faux follow-up to Fincher's Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Not good.
Yeah.
And he also, worst of all, wrote Serenity, which is a movie we talk about all the time.
Dad Boat, baby.
What the fuck is this? Jesus Christ. Sorry.
We wow. Mean.
And lastly, worst of all, he wrote Serenity, which is one of the worst movies that we've ever talked about. It has a deep lore in LCB because we mercilessly shit on it. We call it Dad Boat. It's so this is a movie. Have you ever heard about this?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it. And the reviews were horrible.
Movie past summer banger.
Yeah, it was. It's such. It's what the fuck is this? Just activating my Siri, putting on.
I feel like I'm with a bunch of boomers with the ringtones.
It's not a ringtone. It's my Spotify.
It
just
does
going
sound
off.
Like a ringtone.
It does though.
Which you guys aren't going to hear this because we're going to have to cut it for legal reasons, but Kinjack's phone just keeps going off and playing like, I don't even know.
Just rap music, yeah.
Rap music from 2000, very clearly from like 2008.
Yeah. Not, It's more recent.
Real cool, Ken Jack.
Yeah, real cool. Fucking, I don't know why Spotify. That's like maybe the most like frightening thing I hate, when like my Bluetooth is off and like something just plays.
Oh yeah,
despise it. But anyway, so Serenity is a movie where it has this insane cast. It's McConaughey, yes. Anne Hathaway, Jeremy Strong is in like a wow. minor role.
Jaimin Hansu.
Wow. Jason Clarke. Jason Clarke is the stepdad. And the whole movie is like, and I'm going to spoil it for you.
It's a dog show movie.
You don't have to worry about it. They're all on this island, and Matthew McConaughey is a fishing captain. And then you find out towards the very end of the movie that this is actually all a video game.
Yes.
And it's a kid who made a video game where he plays as his dad and has sex with his mom. And it is one of the dumbest fucking things I think I've ever watched in my life. One of the truly dumbest movies, to the point where I almost thought it was ghostwritten, because the same guy that wrote Peaky Blinders, which is excellent, Taboo, excellent, beautifully written shows and stuff, and this was just like unbelievable. I couldn't believe he did this. But yeah, very good. I think this is kind of an interesting pick for Bond, because I think he's really good, especially in Peaky Blinders and Taboo, of sort of doing this cross of like, here's how the British aristocracy clashes with the British underground. And I think that's very Bondish in a way, where like Bond is like kind of like walks in both worlds a little mm-hmm. bit. So I think that's a really good fit, and how that meshes with Denny's style, I have no idea. But I actually don't hate it as an overall pick.
I don't love it. Like, he's very clearly a gifted writer, but has not shown that he is a movie writer yet. I don't think it's beyond him. There's obviously the Peaky Blinders movie coming out next summer, or later this year? Very soon, which people are very excited for. I haven't watched Peaky Blinders, so I really just don't have any familiarity with him. I do think this feels like they got the most British writer they could in the door, because as of now, it is Denis Villeneuve, and the names they're throwing out for Bond are not necessarily British actors. So this does feel like maybe they just wanted to get, you know, the old Royal Guard in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very much with Gooch on this. I watched a couple episodes of Peaky Blinders. It seemed like it was well made, just wasn't entirely from me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also just might have been in, like, not in the right headspace to watch it. Like, just I think you have to be in a certain mood, I think, to enjoy something like that. But I'm sure it's very good. The movies you listed or not, you think for something like Bond, you would have I expected a higher caliber yes. writer.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit, but I mean, if he's, you know, Bond is so weird. Where is the I would say I'm a big fan of screenplays. Writing, mm-hmm. writing. Story. I'm not a, like, you know, like Jeff, I think, is more like into like style.
AV, yeah.
And like, I'm more into like story, for instance. Like, it's just my whole thing. With Bond, does story matter that much?
I was just about to ask if you could pull up who wrote each of the Craig's Bonds.
Here, let me throw one other movie that I forgot to mention, which I actually think is good that it was delayed. He wrote one of a great London crime movie, which I would assume that you like. I must think we've talked about it before. Eastern Promises.
Yeah, that's good. I forgot he wrote that. Yes.
He wrote Eastern Promises, which is very good.
Yes. It's very good.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'll look up who wrote those Bond movies. But yeah, sorry.
That's by far the best out of anything else you listed.
Yes.
Oh, like a huge margin.
I say
by big margin.
But also, how much of that is like, was it Cronenberg, right? Like,
it was Cronenberg. Yeah. Cronenberg and Viggo again after History of Violence. So.
Yeah. So the last one is written by Neil Purvis and Robert Wade, who did all, I think, 7 James Bond movies from the 90s until then, and also written by John Logan, who did The Aviator, Hugo, Sweeney
Spielberg
Todd.
Guy.
Sweeney Todd, and then those two, what a weird thing.
I like Milburn. The Aviator.
Milburn, shout out to Milburn Deli, which Jeff came back for. But yeah, so just a kind of random crew. I think this guy is definitely way more high profile than either of those guys, for sure. I mean,
yeah,
off Peaky Blinders alone, very well.
Yeah. And I think reading that list there kind of shows you what they think of the franchise, or at least what they want writing-wise. They want someone that they can hand studio notes to.
Yeah.
They want someone who will not go too far outside the brand.
My only pushback would be is that he was the showrunner on all these things.
So that is true.
He does have a measure of being in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like he became, like, he showran a show that was essentially one of Netflix's, like, their premier series. You know what I mean? So I would say, like, he definitely has a little bit of capital for pushback.
Yeah.
And Denny has all the capital in the world for pushback.
He does.
So I don't know. That's where I'd be a little bit on the other end of it. But again, Eastern Promises, as far as London crime goes, that's a great movie. I think if you graft some of that stuff onto a Bond film, that could be great.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Yeah,
I mean, at the end of the day, they had Denny. Like, they have Denny. That is, like, the big swing they took, correct swing. So we'll see what happens there. And it's like, it's not like they're Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars just gave a trilogy to Simon Kinberg.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it could be way worse.
Yeah. And they gave a series to Patty Jenkins, which never followed.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, everyone got a Star Wars series at some point. Jesse Eisenberg said he is not coming back for The Social Network 2. He'd rather be doing Now You Three Me instead, like, which is crazy. He's like, I'd rather do Now You See Me 3 or movies like that than do Social Network 2. Jeremy Strong, apparently the next top replacement to be playing Zuckerberg. Although, from what everything I've read, this next movie probably wouldn't have a lot to do with Zuckerberg himself. Mm-hmm. It's more about the company and inner working stuff.
The Facebook files, which they are branding as something that we all remember.
I remember hearing it. I don't remember.
I don't remember this controversy.
With the election?
I don't even think it's the election, is it?
I remember them getting outed for stealing all of our data.
Like, right.
Yes.
That. Yes.
Maybe that's part of it.
That's what I thought it would end up being, was Zuck in front of Congress, which was just a huge moment for
him. And this is going to be just Sorkin? Fincher's not involved?
Yeah, correct.
So,
yeah,
so this isn't like this.
This isn't. So these are all very talented people that are listed with this movie at this point. You have Sorkin, who's obviously a legend. I don't think it's beyond him to write a good
all-time writers.
Sorkin's a legendary writer.
Yes,
as not a legendary director.
This is what I'm saying. There's a lot of talented people in the room. You have Sorkin. Jeremy Strong, I think, is one of the best working actors. They also have listed now Jeremy Allen White, Mikey Madison coming off an Oscar. A lot of really talented people. None of this makes sense on paper. This is like the Brooklyn Nets from like 4 years ago. Like, it's just, there's a lot of talented players. They're not going to play well together. Like, this is not a winning formula.
Sorkin did Molly's Game, right? Like, director?
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably the last good thing I'd say he did. And even that's
weird.
I'd even say that's the lower end of, like, good Sorkin.
And the Ricardos, I thought, was, like, the writing was strong. The execution wasn't as good as I had hoped, but it was, I thought that was okay. Facebook files, by the way, 2021 internal document leak where Facebook was basically saying how they're aware of harmful societal effects on its platforms, yet persisted in prioritizing profit over these harms. So basically them just saying, like, we know this is fucking people up, but we're going to keep making money off of it, which is what I'm sure every social media platform on the planet does.
I almost feel like that wasn't a controversy, though. I think we all knew by 2021 that all these social media companies were out to get us.
Oh, yeah. But the issue now I also have is how Sorkin is going to try and wield this as a political weapon.
Oh,
because he's very, very broken brain, like, election guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be like, this is all Russian interference, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's going to really get in the
weeds.
That's
why Fincher and him work so well together, because Sorkin is like a loony bin, boomer liberal, and Fincher just so cold and detached and, like, nonpartisan that it worked so well together.
Well, he is partisan. He is beholden to Netflix.
That's true. Yeah,
he's owned by the Netflix lobby.
He lives in Ted Sarando's basement.
Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of sad because Eisenberg as Zuckerberg was unbelievable, but I understand him not wanting to come back,
exactly.
Especially if Fincher's not involved. That completely checks in.
I think Garfield comes back. I don't know how involved that guy actually is.
I think
that
guy's checked out after this.
He's not really, yeah. In real life, he's not really involved at all.
But. Yeah, not part of the company anymore.
That's a shame.
this one is just funny, and I don't even know if Clemmer has any idea who these guys are. Dude Perfect is releasing a documentary about themselves in Regal Cinemas.
Hey, it's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pant at work and then the happy hour right after, the Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together, and of course, their denim, because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
What is the documentary going to be?
When's
we put up YouTube
out?
Videos?
Oh, no, I doubt that's 1,000 screens. You're safe from that. God. There's no way.
I know who Dude Perfect is. I've never watched their content, but I'm aware of who they are.
There's just a funny little footnote where it's like, who's spending hard-earned American dollars on a Dude Perfect documentary? It's just going to Regal for it.
Brother, they have a theme park.
It's true. And also like $1 billion.
Yeah, they have like, I don't think the concept is something I would want to go see, but I don't think it's strange at all. Don't they have like millions and millions and millions of subscribers?
I mean, Clemmer, don't you think it would be strange if we had a documentary that we put in theaters?
No. Like on, like, Pardon My
You Day. Don't think that would be crazy?
Like, not like us, yes, but like the, like, Dave and Dan? No.
I think that would be insane.
I don't think so at all.
I don't think it'd be worth the amount of money it would take to produce and also release in theaters, and I don't think it would make whatever budget.
Yeah.
Although maybe documentaries are much lower budgets, especially
if it's like a Hulu thing, like Alex Cooper did.
Yeah, a Hulu thing would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the most logical step, but, like, I don't think it would be insane, though, to have... I mean, there's a lot of movies out there that have... that the Barstool doc or the Dude Perfect doc will do better than.
Yeah. That's true. This is one we were just talking about before we started. Fantastic Four had a 66% drop in its second weekend.
Yeah.
For reference, Superman's was 53, which is still not great, but also better than
it's
that.
It's pretty good for a comic movie.
Yeah, exactly. So the way it looks right now, because there was such a big drop, the way the rest of the schedule is planning out, because Avatar 3 and Zootopia 2 are still yet to come out, it could probably possibly be the first year without a Marvel movie in the top five grossing movies since 2011, which is crazy.
No, you will 100% be, because it's not going to catch.
There's no chance.
Minecraft and
you know. And it will also likely be the first time since 2008 that a DC movie tops at the top Marvel movie of that year.
Yeah.
Wow. Which is also that's crazy. Very interesting.
Yeah. So a lot of people are. We were talking about this too. There's a lot of like box office watchers recently, especially people that just like I would say aren't particularly interested in the movie world. They're very interested in the box office. Or like people that go to one movie a year will be tweeting like. The box office, see, it's bad. No one likes comic movies anymore. It's like, you don't watch movies. Like, you don't care anyway. Why do you care about this? But that part of it I don't like, but also on the more analytical end of this, like, it's not good. Like, a 66% drop for probably the third best Marvel movie of the last, or second best Marvel movie of the last, like, 3 years, I would say.
I mean, how much is it going to end up with? At the end of the day, it's going to profit. 250? Okay, 250 that is
domestic?
Pretty...
That's not good.
250 domestic is weak.
I mean, the Marvel we know is dead.
It was so, unsustainable, though.
It was, absolutely.
You couldn't just continue to throw out Captain Marvels and then make $1.2 billion. That was never going to last.
No, and Ant-Man and this shit. Yeah. You still do have very loyal fan base. You saw that from their week one. So you're going to have movies that come out and make between 190, like 180, like what Thunderbolts made, to like 250, what this will make. For your the Avengers, that will change things a little bit.
Yeah.
But like the casuals just aren't interested in Marvel anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of come and gone. But like they were never going to be in it for 20 years anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Currently it is at 198 domestic. So yeah, probably finish around 250. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
370 right now worldwide, like in total.
So 500 probably worldwide.
Yeah. I would guess around that. It's also like a pretty, I'm surprised it doesn't have more worldwide because it's a pretty universal movie, you know what I mean? Like,
I know.
I can see the Chinese liking this. I think India, whatever.
I think people are kind of, unfortunately, from Marvel, like the casuals, right? The loyalists are still there. That week one is great. The week one for Captain America: Brave New World is great. Like the loyalists are there. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, for Marvel, they did put out bad product for a long time, and people just got tired of it.
Yeah.
The last two movies are good though.
We had Thunderbolts and this were both good movies.
Yes.
Like without a doubt, it's just the fatigue is really kind of setting in on them, which kind of sucks. But
and you reap what you sow. You can't put out movies like Brave New World and The Eternals and like the schlock that we got for so long.
I do think Brave New World is probably the end of the old era. Like that was the end of it was the previous CEO with fucking God damn it.
I mean, it was like, I know the guy who followed up Iger was the interim between Iger and Iger. He catches a lot of the flack, and he definitely was terrible at what he was doing. But also, Iger was the one who was like, pump out a million TV shows and let's get a Disney Plus base going. So, like, it is on his hands, too. But they have definitely, like, figured out that they can't continue to do that. So
it's not just I feel like TV series also is kind of a...
Chapek. Yeah.
They weren't a TV studio. That was the problem.
I
they were
get
a film
it.
Studio.
You're absolutely
that
right.
were allocating half their resources to making...
Literally movie budgets to TV shows.
Yes.
The movies were bad, too, though. And maybe because of the...
I think it was all
everything
because
was stretched
of everything.
In because
yes.
of TV. Yeah. But, like, they put out bad movies for 4 years. Like, bad movies.
Not good movies. And they were spending, like, what was it? Secret Invasion cost $250 million to make or something like that. Like, that's insane. Even, like, She-Hulk was $220 million for a fucking sitcom. Like, that's crazy.
That's insane.
Insane amounts of money to be just burning at the stake for nothing.
I think they'll... I don't think they can get... They obviously cannot get back to where they were. I think that's just gone. But I do think that you get a Thunderbolts, you get a Fantastic Four, you get a couple hits, and, you know, regain that trust with the audience. I do think they can get back to a reasonable spot.
Like water finding its level a little bit. Yeah.
Yes. I think there's a recalibration period going on right now. But I do think people still want to go see these blockbusters.
Yeah. I saw people trying to drag Superman through the mud about this too, by the way. They were like, oh, but look, internationally it doesn't do well. Like Superman
also,
don't typically do that well.
If you're listening to this, you should not be... None of us should really be worrying about third weekend drops, weekend percentage drops. It's like... I was saying this to Kinjai. It's like... it's like casual baseball fans getting into like BABIP and like really niche statistics that just really don't enhance watching the game.
Oh, I disagree entirely. I think the box office is a big deal. I love it. I'm a box office guy. I think it's really interesting. It also dictates what we'll see in the future. That's what will be green lit, what won't be. Like, and this Marvel stuff is fascinating to me on so many different levels. A big thing is, I wonder, like, generationally, like, you know, for a long time, you guys were the youngest generation. You're not anymore. Now there's a whole new generation of moviegoers that are younger than you guys. Do they think Marvel's kind of corny and lame?
Yeah, they definitely do.
For sure.
So, like,
I mean, there's...
What does that mean, like, moving forward?
There's two sides to it. There's a large percentage of them that for sure think it's corny and lame, but there's also the most hardcore fans on the internet are the 16-year-olds to 22-year-olds, where they are... I'll say the niche fandoms are a lot more intense with the younger generation. It's just the way the internet has driven them into, like, different communities online.
It's always been like that ever since. Even I mean, when you're younger, you have less to work. You don't have mortgages. You don't have kids. You're into your hobbies.
I'd say it's a lot more heightened with everyone on social media and the way you can find communities online.
Sure.
Versus used to be, you have to go to like a forum and like sit on a message board, and that was serviceable. But like, you're still like, you're getting off like 3 messages a night, maybe.
Right.
Now you're sitting there. You can sit there and tweet all night. You can go on TikTok and TikTok comments. I think kids are, there's a lot more of an intense fandom, but there's also just like, they are checking out. And I don't know if they're checking out on Marvel so much as they're just checking out on movies.
But also, like, you go look at something like Minecraft. Like, they're one of the theaters and fucking standing on each other's shoulders and going ballistic for something they care about.
That's different. I think that Minecraft is like more of an event thing where it became like an event.
And but
I think,
Marvel movies used to be events.
And I think the Avengers movies will continue to be huge events, but...
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I just don't think the average, like you said, Marvel movie is going to be the event anymore.
They just can't be doing Captain America, like, movies, and like, that type of movie anymore. Yeah. They can't be doing, like, whatever... half the stuff they've made over the last phase.
Yeah.
You can't be doing, like, Black Widow standalone. You can't be doing, like, fucking... Even, like, Thunderbolts, honestly, you can't really do that, like, unless you're going to be really...
You could do it from a cost, if you just
from a cost effective
lower the budget, yeah. Like, and you could because you will still have the loyalists. Like, at the end of the day, Thunderbolts still did make 185 domestic. Like, that's still a good number.
And exactly.
As long as you just calibrate your budget accordingly.
Yeah.
And you calibrate your expectations accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. I saw they were. I think I read somewhere where they were asking, what's his name? Who's the guy that did Creator?
Gareth Edwards.
Yeah, they're like quit asking him, like drilling him, being like, how the fuck do you make a sci-fi movie that costs less than $100 million? Because he makes movies and they're like $80 million and they look better than anything.
Because he comes in, and this has also been Marvel's problem for a long time, is that they get to the fucking set and they don't have a goddamn script, so they don't know what the fuck they're shooting. Gareth Edwards has come in on all of his projects with scripts, knowing what he's going to shoot that day. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, he comes in on budget.
Like, on budget. And
you can't come in on budget if you show up to set and you're like, let's try 4 different things today. Like,
and he has a big runway for all the VFX guys, too, where it's like, here's the shots I'm going to need. You have months now to prepare this versus Disney.
Exactly.
Like, hey, we're changing this. Actually, we're moving this. This thing's going here now. This thing's doing that. So it just helps them a lot, too. Speaking of Marvel, they apparently... The Hulk, Spider-Man, and Punisher will be fighting in Spider-Man Brand New Day, which is just a funny trio because, like...
I love this.
The Hulk, like, Spider-Man, strength-wise, and then, like, the Punisher's in the basement. Like, how does that work?
Punisher with prep time, man.
The most prep time in the world with Punisher? Like, no guns can hurt Hulk? Like, I don't understand what it does to Spider-Man either, honestly. Like, I don't know. It's one I didn't get.
And I did think it was funny. If they hadn't branded this so heavily, and they've been branding it as like, this is going to be the return to street level for Spider-Man, and they throw in the Hulk,
Punisher,
like the strongest character that they have in their universe.
Yeah,
but I'm not complaining because what was it, 2012? The first Avengers movie is the last time we saw Mark Ruffalo turn into the Hulk.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah, which is insane, right?
Isn't that
weird to think about?
Really?
The last time he transformed.
We've seen him as the Hulk. But we haven't seen him like actually just transform into the Hulk, which is like the iconic thing that he does is like, don't make me angry, and turns into the Hulk.
That's
we haven't seen him do it.
That's insane. Over a decade.
Yeah, so like hopefully we get that here because I love the Hulk. Hulk used to be like, I mean, he was the top 3 guy for Marvel forever, and now he's nobody.
He got like flanderized like in Marvel kind of. Like he just shows up and does a stupid quip, his banner, and then
pretty much
punches someone once, and then that's it for him. And then lastly... A New Hope is going to come back to theaters April 30th, 2027.
Hell yes.
50th anniversary. I think that's awesome. That'll be a fun time to go to theater for.
Yeah, I went. So back in the 90s, they re-released all of the original mm-hmm. trilogy, mm-hmm. and they released it with, like, unfortunately, like,
yeah,
Lucas's changes. But they were, like, pretty big box office, like,
the
deals.
First one made, like, a huge amount of money.
They all
right?
three, I think, opened number one, I believe. I saw all three in the theaters. It was fun. I'd seen the third one in the theaters when it came out originally. The first two I was too young for, or wasn't born for. I will say, if you haven't seen New Hope in the theaters, it's definitely worth seeing.
I mean, Revenge of the Sith just did what? Like, gangbusters.
Yeah,
a few
it did well.
Ago.
Yeah.
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One Sweet Tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
Let's see, RTS. I'll look that up later. But yeah, that'll be very interesting. I'll definitely be there for that opening day. And now we get to talk about a movie which we've wanted to talk about for a very long time, The Naked Gun. Obviously, very late reboot of the franchise. Went three movies. It also is based off the TV show starring Leslie Nielsen.
Yes, a very short-lived TV show. But if you have a chance to see it on some sort of streaming service, the TV show is very funny. It's a half hour. It's very funny. Mm. They had like 8 or 10 episodes, and they would kill off a celebrity in the first like 2 minutes. So they have a special guest star and kill him off in like 90 seconds.
That's very funny.
And it was very funny.
Let's see, Police Squad streaming. I am curious. I don't think I've
like
ever
Adam
watched
West,
it.
The old Batman. He was one of the. He was. I think he was on the show. Maybe
he was like a character on the show.
No, maybe it was a different show he was on. He did like a type of show like that.
I think it's on Paramount Plus. Okay,
yeah, check it out. But check it out. They're from the 80s, but like they age well because they're not like of the time necessarily. You might not recognize the guest stars, but
yeah.
But it's funny. It's the same kind of humor that you get in Naked Gun. Naked Gun is like timeless, like that kind of humor. Like mm-hmm. even go back to like Airplane and stuff. That stuff's because it's physical, it's punny, it's quips, it's funny.
I rewatched them before going to our screening, and like mm-hmm. it is crazy how so little of it is tied up into the cultural moment. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Versus like later parody movies when you watch like Meet the Spartans or whatever, and like every single joke is based off something that had happened within the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. They have no timeless jokes. Every joke in Naked Gun.
Yeah.
It's something you can get regardless of, like, you don't have to know anything about what was going on then to get the joke. So it's a later reboot directed by Akiva Schaffer, who I'm assuming a lot of people would know from Lonely Island. Also directed Popstar, Never Stop Popping, which we love.
Mm-hmm.
Also did Hot Rod. He did everything Lonely Island where it's like their fingerprints are in it. He directed same thing, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, which was another great reboot he directed. Brilliant guy, super funny. And starring in this one was Liam Neeson taking over Leslie Nielsen, which is very funny. It's just a stupid thing that's funny.
Like, it's just like it's so meta and just so stupid. Like, how does that just happen?
How does that work? And how's that? Yeah, Pam Anderson, Danny Houston, Kevin Durant, Paul Walter Hauser, among others. But that's the main crew. So The Naked Gun. We were definitely. I would say at first when you see that right reboot. A little hesitant. We watched the trailer, and I remember the first thing I think I said to you was, there's something about digital that just isn't as funny as film, especially for a movie like this, because in that opening trailer, just seeing that, they showed like the bank heist scene.
Mm-hmm.
In the trailer. And I'm like, something about digital just doesn't play the same as it did in like the film. But then we go to the screening, and fuck, man, I was dying laughing throughout this entire thing. It is just joke after joke after joke after joke, and it's hitting at a very high rate. I would say it's like hitting at like an 80% rate for me, roughly, like on the jokes. And there's so many of them. So good. A lot of good little side bits where like it combines the spirit of the older Naked Gun humor, where it's like very strictly on the more timeless pun stuff. And then also some of the, like, the newer age Lonely Islandish humor. And I think it does a great job combining both of those things, paying respect to the old one and also forging its own path in a way, which is, I think, the sort of ideal way to go about a reboot. You want to, again, pay respect to the original, do your own thing as well. Loved it, enjoyed it. I've watched it now twice. I think I might go a third time. And I think the big testament to why I think this movie, or why I think this movie should be very successful, is we went to go see that right with our whole office.
Mm-hmm.
And you had people like in a completely separate age brackets, gender brackets, everything cracking up. You and Frank dying laughing at jokes. We had like iPad interns dying laughing at jokes.
Yep.
Like we had people from all these, like girls, guys, old, young, does not matter. Everyone was dying laughing at everything.
Yep.
So that's my litmus test, sort of, to be like, oh, this is actually a good comedy, not just something that's hyper-focused into one group.
I think even, like, people as old as I am, like boomers would find it funny.
Yeah.
Like, I think you could bring, like, you could bring your parents to this, because a lot of it is, like, puns or wordplay or just clever jokes or physical comedy that I think works for any age.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really loved it.
Yeah, no, I think this is, like, fantastic. Like, a breath of fresh air into a genre that's needed it. Kiva Shaffer, I think, has really established himself at this point. He's not a household name, but you look back over the past decade and a half of comedy movies, his name is at the top of the list in terms of who's making, who in general has made anything funny. He's one of the few. I Think You Should Leave Alone, I think, is, like, iconic in this era of comedy, but that's beside the point. So this movie, a perfect modernization of that three joke a minute style that Zucker established with Airplane, The Naked Gun, and he modernizes it with, like, the Lonely Island style, with I Think You Should Leave's absurdist style, and it blends really well together. It's not like something you'd expect. You think dad humor in 2025 is it too corny to work with, you know, younger audiences? But the more I've had, like, time to think about it, it's like that three joke a minute style, that's perfect for people with TikTok brain.
Yeah.
That's perfect for people with TikTok brain. So it works so well, and I hope that we get more of these, because I think this is the avenue to get comedies back in theaters. The Judd Apatow era, I loved those comedies.
Me too.
I don't think they can play with the younger generation, with younger audiences. I just don't think that'll get kids into theaters.
Why?
I just don't think they're interested in it. I really don't.
In what? Like,
I don't think they'd
be offended by the comedy? Is that what we're afraid of?
No. I think it's more they need more humor and less drama. They don't want to blend.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It what you're saying makes sense. I disagree with the sentiment, but what you're saying makes sense.
They want
a straight comedy.
Yes. Yeah,
I don't think they want story-based comedy, if that makes sense. They want it to be, like, humor-based.
Yes, exactly. So I think this is, like, really interesting, and I hope studios take the right lessons from this movie. That's what I'll say. I really loved it. I really did. I've been recommending it to everyone, which is, like, the best feeling when you get out of a movie and you're like, I can tell everyone I know to go see this. That's such a good feeling.
By the way, just to follow up on Shaffer again, Hot Rod, pop star, never stopped popping. Was a producer on Palm Springs, which was excellent. Directed Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, did this now, Naked Gun, and was also producer on MacGruber, which is excellent. Also a couple other random things in TV. I Think You Should Leave, he did a bunch of episodes of, which we talked about, I think, with Paul Walter Hauser. And then a few other things. Saturday Night Live, he was the director of 68 episodes during their, like, for us, like, I would say, like, their last huge peak, like, Lonely Island, Digital Short, the end, like, to the end of that era and to the now kind of more lull we've been in. And then among a few other things as well, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, for example. So, yeah, Clemmer?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed this. One thing I really liked about it, well, a few things. I liked a lot of things about it. And believe me, if I'm listening to this, I'm like,
this is
a shill.
Yeah.
I promise you, if I did not like this movie, I would say I did not like it. I promise you. I really enjoyed this movie. 85-minute runtime. Love that for a comedy. Yes. And it didn't rely on too many cameos, which I really appreciated. I thought going in, I'm like, all right, kind of like what we end up seeing with, and I haven't seen it yet, to be fair, Billy Madison.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Happy Gilmore, too.
Excuse me. Happy Gilmore, too. Where it's just like, cameo-driven comedy to me just doesn't, not really, not why I go to the movies. I don't think that's like, oh, famous person, isn't that funny? Like, I'd rather see jokes. And this is joke reliant. This is joke based. And it cast people that did a good job in those roles, not because of their star power. It's a very old cast. So to have an older cast, people much older than me in this movie, you know, all the way down the line almost, is crazy. It opened at 17 million. And it seems like, and I was looking at some of the demographics, because I do love the box office stuff. A lot of younger people seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
1825 did well. I was like, all right, cool. Like, young people coming out to see a comedy with old people in it. Let's go. You know, and it was really encouraging. I love The Naked Gun. I saw the second and third one in the theaters. I love that style of humor. I think it's very funny. And this is just like what Gooch and you were saying, a perfect blend of kind of new style comedy with paying tribute to the old. I will say another positive thing. you watch the trailer, there's a lot of great jokes in it. But I'm like, all right, are those the best jokes it has? That's basically just the first 10 minutes of the movie. After that, you don't see another joke from the trailer in the, like, the whole rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So don't feel like you're being cheated or you're being front-loaded. It's not that way at all.
Yeah, I would say I was somewhat shocked by how much the trailer didn't give away. Like, I would say that was probably my number one concern going into the film. I was like, there's been one trailer, they use the same three jokes in this trailer every single time. The OJ joke is very funny.
Very funny.
But by the time you've seen it 20 times, you're like, man, once, I hope they have more than this once we get to the theater. And boy, did they. I talked to Doug Mann and, Doug Mann, Dan Greger, who were the writers on this, on the carpet, and they said that they had 10 alternates for every single joke that they wrote. 10 alternates for every single joke.
Crazy.
And they would film all of them. Yeah. And so that way you get a feel for what's working. Whereas something like Happy Gilmore, I do think that they maybe did sit down and write a script. They weren't writing 10 alternates for every single joke. You could tell that they got out there and just kind of winged it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This felt like they really wanted to make something great, and because of that, they did.
Yeah, really, really loved it. We can talk about some spoiler stuff now. Not there's like
yes. Let's talk some jokes, some man.
Crazy,
because that's all you can really talk about with this movie.
Yeah, and just in a follow up on what you said, I think the OJ joke is the funniest joke of the trailer. It's like not even in the top like 50th percentile of jokes in the movie. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. But again, I love that they didn't do that. So I think a lot of the parts that really stuck out to me as being like, holy shit, that's good stuff. Like, the chili dog scene killed me every time. Both times.
So funny.
The whole chili dog body cam sequence scene.
Very funny.
Got me. The snowman aside.
The snowman stuff is great.
Oh, they almost cut that.
Were they almost cut
really?
That? Yeah. They said that they almost cut it and they fought to keep it in.
It's like 8 minutes of the movie. It's like one-tenth of the movie.
Mm-hmm. I think they had a different montage also filmed that was more of a homage to the original montage.
It was like running slow on the beach.
Yes.
Like,
and they opted with this one.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like the absurdity of this
one a lot.
Yeah.
So absurd.
What is, there's a joke in this, she's got a bottom.
That's what everyone has been quoting.
Begs for the brown.
And she's got a bottom to make any toilet beg for the brown.
Like, it comes out of nowhere, and Robbie Fox and I were saying it to each other just last week. Like, it's had me cackling.
And dude, Liam Neeson had the perfect deadpan for everything in this. Like, he is just so good.
His rant on the TiVo. Like, that's a 3 minute joke made for like one person. There's probably one person at every single screening that gets that joke, but that person like loves that joke, and I love that they kept that joke in there.
Yeah,
like that's such specific.
Did you plug it in?
You plugged it into the Ethernet.
Like, TiVo lasted like 5 years in the early 2000s. It was a big deal, but like if you weren't there, like you don't get that joke at all.
Dude, I that killed me. There's so many like the Black Eyed Peas reference.
Yes,
just like them going back and forth on naming the Black Eyed Peas members. So funny. Danny Houston, by the way, very good.
Very good.
I thought all the bit players are great. I mean, bringing in CCH Pounder to do CCH Pounder.
Yes,
like bringing in CCH Pounder to just play a parody of CCH Pounder. Hilarious. Mm-hmm.
We're all rooting for you, Ronald.
Kevin Durand, the stupid henchman, that. Like, I don't know why, but the one scene where he gets in his car, he's like, "That's not my normal driver.
Yeah.
That's not my normal gas.
Yeah.
That's not how I normally fall asleep."
It's so good,
so stupid. And then with him waking up and then doing a Mission Impossible third act parody, full on with Lauren Balfe doing a parody of his own score. It's so funny. Oh my god.
Dude, that whole Mission Impossible sequence is great. Like the Russian nesting doll of it.
Yes.
Like ending on the OSHA guys.
Yes.
So fucking funny. And like, there's so many random good lines in this where like they remind me, like we were saying, like paying homage to the original. Like when like, oh, Frank Drebin, he's like, me too. Like that's, that to me, like that's Naked Gun. Like,
you can't fight City Hall, Frank. It's a building.
Yeah, it's a building. You certainly can't. Yeah. Take a chair. Like, actually, I will take that chair and like dragging the chair out. Like, that's so Naked Gunny. And by the way, Pam Anderson was fantastic.
So good. So funny.
Oh my gosh. Funny. Looks great.
She looks so good.
My God. And like picked up that, was Priscilla Presley, right?
Yes.
The picks up that exact role so perfectly.
Yeah.
Like that bombshell, old school type of feel to it. It was, I think that was such a great, like, inspired casting by them.
Yeah. And I love that they're together now. I love old people dating. There's so many jokes in this that I just keep thinking of. Like, just even the stupid shit. Like, she's put together in all the right places. head, shoulder, knees and toes. Like, there's so many. The crane bit. Like, There's a million jokes in this
movie. Dude, the Austin Powers thing. The Austin Powers, like, X-ray vision.
Yes, like, yes.
That thing.
The turkey needs basting. Yeah. Like, oh, my God. So many good, just so many good bits.
Even like the opening when he's talking about it, it's like, yeah, I get my dead cop wife.
Yeah, he's like, I wake up and cry cop tears from my dead cop wife.
Yeah.
Dude, oh, my God.
Just such a funny movie. Effortlessly funny, too, where it's like, it's not, I don't think ever trying too hard. You know what I mean? Which, like,
I mean, it's Naked Gun. It's always trying.
I would say the trying hard part of it that would bother me is, like we were talking about, for example, Happy Gilmore 2, when, like, you're, let me dump out Key Jangle cameos on you.
Yes.
Let me reference something culturally prevalent right now. Like, that to me is, like, you're trying hard just to get something that you know will be, like this,
yep.
I think, was just very effortlessly funny throughout. Enjoyed it all. Even, like, the Tesla stuff I thought was good. Kind of ripping off the fucking plot of Kingsman, right?
Yes, yes. The sound that makes people angry.
Mm-hmm.
It calms people up.
Yeah. Dude, the announcer at the MMA fight, also very funny. I didn't know
Bruce Buffer? Oh, wait, yeah. No. Not Bruce Buffer.
The guy calling
that was very funny.
Who's like, wife is cheating on him.
Yes, he's like... He shows up to the broadcast and he's like, my wife was dressed when I was getting ready to leave.
Yeah, she had makeup on.
Did you think that meant anything?
Yeah. And then him, like, describing Liam Neeson's, like, dick to everybody throughout it.
It's like, as we move to the midsection, we find something quite magnificent.
Yeah. It's like a sausage fit for the king of Bavaria. Yeah. Like, oh, my. That was great.
One thing that killed me and Kinjack, but, like, no one else that I think at either screening, was when Paul Walter Hauser breaks into the beer booth and he's, like, watching it. And he just turns to the left and there's, like, the most misshapen man I've ever seen just... staring at him going, beer?
Do you remember that guy? Yeah, the weird looking dude? Yeah,
that's the weird looking guy.
Yeah, and then Paul Walter Hauser also beating up the kids was funny.
And then having beers with them afterwards.
Yeah.
The secret villain meeting where the one old guy just keeps going, fish people.
Yeah, crab hands.
And then that like bit was almost falling flat until he holds up his phone to show a picture. And the one guy just goes, I met that guy.
See, that's very, I think you should leave. And then I think even plot device, like the thing being called like plot device.
Yeah.
That's the kind of like old, like just throwback humor
funny.
That just still.
Yeah, very, very, very funny movie.
Still works. Oh.
So yeah, Naked Gun, I think for me, it's like easily, it's one of the best comedies of the last like five-ish years, I would say.
Easily.
Like, my favorite probably since like Death of Stalin, like as far as like laughs, mm-hmm. like actual laughs, and in totally different spaces. You know what I mean? Like long play jokes or stuff.
Jackass movie made me laugh a lot. I did like Friendship more than this.
Friendship mm-hmm. was very
fun. I don't know if it like had as many laughs, but like because there was a bit of a story there. But I think, I mean, I have this thing as like the 13th best movie of the year for me. This, sure. You know, I've seen mm-hmm. 88 movies or whatever, and I have Friendship like 9th.
Sure.
And the Jackass movie that came out a few years ago is very funny. I have those three as like the best comedies of this decade, I think, unless I'm forgetting something.
Yeah. Barbie, maybe.
Barbie as a comedy.
What else would it be?
It's a comedy.
It's a. I mean, a very eventized and politically charged or socially charged comedy, but it's a comedy for sure.
There's definitely a serious crime limit cancels you out from being a pure comedy, and if you have like three or four serious crimes,
just,
I don't think
just remember all the Ryan anymore. Gosling parts. Come on, think about the patriarchy.
But yeah, so Naked Gun, I would have it as like an 86.7 or something like that. I would say roughly around there. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But also, and this is part of the issue where it comes to like trying to digest it objectively, is like comedies have just been so bad. Where it's like, am I loving this because there is no good replacements for it, and like the field is so bad, or am I loving it because it is like if you threw this in for our comedy era of like 2006-7, like of watching or Superbad 2008, like would it be hold up to those? I think probably not. I wouldn't look at it as favorably,
right?
But it's still very funny,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you laughing is somewhat reflexive. So, like, you're not thinking, oh, I saw a really great comedy 2 weeks in the theaters. I will not laugh at this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I think you'd still be enjoying this. Now, maybe it wouldn't stand out as much just because you'd have, you know, more comedies in the landscape. But
yes.
I think, I don't care when this comes out. I think you'd enjoy, especially the jokes being this timeless, I think you'd enjoy this whenever it came out.
Yeah. And I think we all enjoyed it. And I think just like laughing with a group of people in a theater is so, like, I don't want to say like rare, but like, it's so fun. And it's like, it's very like like, I don't want to say therapeutic, but you know what I mean. Like, it's just...
It's nice. It's just a nice feeling. It feels good. I go to these movies, you know, seeing every movie. I've seen, what, 88 movies this year so far. I've seen very few comedies. They've all been replaced by horror. And some horror is good. And there's also horror, like I saw last week, where Pete Davidson went to a nursing home. And, like, I'd much rather... Just give me a comedy. I don't want to see Pete Davidson in a horror movie about a nursing home.
How was it, by the way?
It was not good. It was fine. I can't recommend this movie.
Glowing endorsement. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not good. It's just it existed, you know. But it's like, oh, give me some comedies that you can make in the same budget.
Yes.
Whatever.
Which obviously that's proven now too.
But I'm glad Naked Gun is going to make money. $17 million opening weekend. Probably going to tap out around 50, I'm guessing. But I can't imagine that cost. You know,
Gun
50
budget.
To make.
No, this is success. This is success.
So.
This is Paramount saying we can continue to make these.
$42 million budget, by the way.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you, I don't understand why there's always this argument that it's not financially viable to make these movies, and I say, why not? Mm-hmm. They're not expensive to make. They have about the same hit rate as a horror. Like, if you hit on one, you really hit on it. Like, mm-hmm. you can make a lot of money off these things.
So it made how much domestic then? Or international? It made 17. So,
I think it's
so
far at 28.
Yeah,
so
far
beautiful.
It's
so if it
million.
Makes 50 domestic, it makes another, say, 100?
Mm-hmm.
And it's 150 off of 40 budge? That's not bad.
Pretty damn good.
And it'll do well on streaming.
It'll do really well. Okay, it's super rewatchable. There's so many jokes. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the ads in the... MMA or whatever the fighting.
Oh yeah,
one of them was like NPR,
like Ponzi scheme.
Yes. Yeah, like if you go and look at like you could like pause it and like get a laugh just looking at the. So like, there's so many in these Naked Gun movies. That's why they did so well for so long. There's so many jokes you miss the first time you see it.
Yeah.
So you can rewatch these over, or you can just throw it on. Like, oh, I'm with my buddies. I'm gonna have some drinks, have some friends over, and like whatever, just hang out, have something, throw it on, and then anyone can watch it for 2 minutes, get some laughs, and go on their way.
And then even like the background of the police station, like it was cold cases, and it was like a refrigerator, like shit like that. It's simple, easy.
Oh, I just remembered another joke when they like go and they're like they go up to like the board where they're all the suspects are. Someone like pinned something to the suspect wall, and then all the cops like run up to it and they're like, "Yes, got the part."
Yeah. So I think it was good. They ran a great marketing campaign too for this.
Yes.
Lots of very simple, easy budgeting things like the posters with a little pun on it. And then the Save Comedies Foundation.
That was
thing,
a good one. Yeah, good I one. Really like that.
That was all smart. And I think they've just been really smart with how they've put this movie out. And mm-hmm. also the Akiva Schapper thing we were talking about is like he was trying to pitch the movie to Paramount. And they were just like, we don't know. And he filmed basically the interrogation scene with Kevin Durant's character. And they filmed it with Liam Neeson in like a storage locker mm-hmm. in one of the Paramount backlots or something. And they filmed it, and then it ended with Liam Neeson like looking into the camera and being like, "Yeah, I'm talking to you, you fucking dumbass executive. Like, greenlight this movie, I'm going to kick your ass."
And that's funny.
They loved it. Yeah. And they greenlit it, which is awesome. So that is The Naked Gun. Loved it. Now we're going to do a combined rankings of the top comedies of the '90s. And I'll put it in front of you guys just so you could see it.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
All right, so we have a full list here, so if you want to see it on the side
as
well.
Yeah, I'll pull it up on my phone here.
I think right now, as I'm looking at it, I have around 35 listed in the pool. Some of them, so like, I sent some in our chat, and I tried to like exclude ones where I'm like, is this a pure comedy, or is it this? Like, for example, one I would think of that you added after the fact, which was like Home Alone. Home Alone, very funny. I'm like, it's hard for me to think of like a family movie like that as like being like a comedy, but like I don't know.
That's the only way I look at it.
I don't know if it like disrupts it as a spirit of a comedy, but like it is. It's 100. It's super fucking funny. There's no question. But like the family,
it's not
aspect,
a drama.
Definitely not a drama. But like I feel like family is its own like family movies. Like kid
holiday
movies.
Movies do get a little murky. And
yeah.
like where
I
do
think
you categorize
that one,
them?
No. It's like so, I think about it like when I went
but
to Blockbuster.
I would put Elf in like 2000s comedy. So
yeah, of course. Yeah. Like I think when I go to Blockbuster, like. Home Alone would be put in the comedy section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you'd have to, right? There's nowhere else to put it.
Yeah.
Unless like Holiday?
Like Holiday or like.
But like Home Alone was such a massive. No. Home Alone wouldn't have been in the kids section. It would be in the drama section. Or the comedy section, excuse me.
It is so geared towards kids, though. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Like we watch it now as adults, and we laugh.
Yeah, I guess.
Wasn't it the number one movie that year? Home Alone? Pretty wide berth.
Yeah, no, for sure. If I'm narrowing down what genre I throw it in. For example, Inside Out 2 is like one of the top movies ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, family movie.
That'd be that family kids movie.
Cartoon, yeah, animation.
I wouldn't put, like, I'd say genre-wise, I wouldn't put any genre above, like, family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it anyway. So we'll start with number 10, the number 10 comedy of the 90s. And this is where it's going to be hard because, like, what do you consider to be in the top grouping? And I think here, let's start with Clemmer, actually. You comfortable with the first pick here at number 10?
Sure.
And we can veto you if you think it's too low or shouldn't even be included.
Okay. I'll go with Rushmore.
Rushmore is very good.
I was hoping this would end up on the list, so no veto here.
And it can't go any higher than this, I don't think.
I think
it's like a solid place for it, right? And I love Rushmore. I like Royal Tenenbaums more personally, but Rushmore and Royal Tenenbaums to me are the two great Wes Anderson movies. Bill Murray is unbelievable in it. Jason Schwartzman, incredible performance. Honestly, like this is when it kind of tees into drama a little bit, but it is a comedy, I think. I think Rushmore is a comedy.
It's definitely a comedy first, I would say. There's definitely dips a toe or two there, but it's definitely a comedy. And I wish Wes Anderson would go back to making movies like this so badly. Like instead.
Oh, my God. Well, he needs to write with Owen Wilson again. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I watched this not long ago, and I watched it with the Owen Wilson commentary.
Yeah.
Man, was that guy going through some stuff with his dad during that commentary.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But
I'd listen to that.
It is definitely dramedy territory, but I let out Yelp laughs in that movie.
Oh my God.
Jason Schwartzman is so funny and like so talented as a young actor in
Very
that movie.
Young. How old is he even at that point?
He's also on the commentary, and his voice is like cracking in the commentary. Like he's young, like probably 15, 16.
I thought
16.
He was older. I thought he was like 20.
Was he 20? Maybe he's just like baby.
I could be wrong. I thought he was a little older.
Late developers, because he's baby face, short, and... Maybe it's just the way they shot it.
Was he a drummer first, or was he an actor first?
Actor first. That came out after.
He's a Coppola
Phantom,
first.
Phantom Planet.
Yeah.
There's a line in that movie. It's one of my favorite lines in the 90s. The delivery of it, I guess. It's a nice nurse's uniform guy, and it's Luke Wilson. He goes, these are OR scrubs. He goes, oh, are they? And Bill Murray lets out a snort. And it's like, it's such a corny joke, but the delivery and the way it's delivered.
Yes.
And also, if you understand the movie, like, Josh Jordan hates the Luke Wilson character.
Yeah.
He's trying to shit on him. It's just fantastic. It's one of my favorite things ever.
All right. So after Rushmore, I'll go next. And I'm comfortable with... This is a movie I've watched so many times. And it's a movie that like me and my brothers love. Me and my dad loved. And it, to me, it's like one of many movies in a run for one actor in the 90s that is unbelievable in the comedy world. I'll do Ace Ventura. I think he has... Oof. I love Ace Ventura, man. I think Ace Ventura is like... It is... And I think part of it too is it's definitely not timeless. Like that style of like very over emoting physicalness, like it doesn't carry over now. Like it's cringy now, but I think in that period nobody could touch Ace and Jim Carrey in general. I think some of the jokes you can't make today really necessarily either, specifically Finkel as Einhorn stuff.
That's true.
But fuck, man, is it funny and relentless? Just like joke after joke after joke. Super physical performance from Carrey. I fucking love Ace Ventura. You guys feel free to veto. I just want to get it on the board, and I don't think it could possibly go higher.
I might throw out the veto on this because this very, is like
yeah,
this
happy,
is.
All right. It's
I don't disagree with you. Flowers. This is very funny. This was like when I was a kid, like probably one of my five favorite movies. In retrospect, it's not like top five Carrey from the 90s, I don't think.
That's the thing,
I
mean, is how many Jim Carrey movies are going to
like,
have in there?
Exactly. So like, I'd rather us get a different Carrey movie on the board, especially if we're going to have multiple here.
So you'll use yours.
How many vetoes do we have?
We each get one.
One.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're using yours now?
I'll use mine.
I still have mine.
So I could use it on a different comedy or a different Jim Carrey movie if I wanted to.
There's a lot of them.
I think instead... There's so many good ones, and now I'm trying to think of like where I would have some of them higher. Then I think instead I'll do Austin Powers 1.
Okay. I'm much happier with that.
Yeah, Austin Powers 1, I mean, super funny, easy to watch, great little parody of the Bond stuff. Michael Myers, I think, was like born to do this sort of role. So funny. Every role, he does 18 roles in it. All of them are great. All the side characters. Who's the guy that plays his number two?
It's Rob Lowe in the second one. And the first one, it is...
I don't remember that guy's name off the top of my head. But he's very funny. Obviously, Jamie Kennedy. Who the fuck played his son?
Seth Green.
Seth Green.
Say what up. Really tell Sloan I said what up.
Dude, they're all great. So yeah, Austin Powers 1, I will go for the 9th best comedy of
the year. I love the entire Austin Powers franchise. I was also thinking this in the wake of The Naked Gun. I do think this is the franchise to look at next. But unlike we had an heir apparent, I think, in Liam Neeson, even though it wasn't entirely obvious, Liam Neeson fit that Leslie Nielsen glove perfectly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have a Mike Myers.
Matt Berry.
I don't think we have. Oh, shit. You might have just solved that one.
Matt Berry. I've been saying Matt Berry would be the perfect fit for an Austin Powers.
Why can't Mike Myers do it again?
He could. I don't know if he's got that.
I don't think he's got the juice anymore.
He's kind of like. And
he also is kind of horrifying to look at.
He's also just like a terror on set. Like they.
No. I mean, that's from Wayne's World too. I mean, you go back to even some of his SNL days. Like, I have a whole theory about Mike Myers that, like, he suffered from middle child syndrome SNL, where you had the old cast of Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman. Mm. Those crew all hung out together. And then there was Mike Myers, who's the youngest person in the cast for 2 years. And then came Sandler and Farley guys, and Rocky. Yeah. He didn't quite fit in with them. He kind of gave them the business, like I'm older brother to you guys, and kind of like didn't like hang out with them a ton. But then the older crew was just a little like, oh, what's Mike Myers? So then I think he had some sort of middle child stuff with that.
I dig that theory.
Yeah.
Major fights with Dana Carvey on set of Wayne's World 2, mm-hmm. like major issues, and like has had a lot of issues on sets.
There's a lot on Cat in the Hat, right? Like,
I mean, he
required them to give him a cookie man.
There's a reason why it only took like
around the cookie.
They waited for that one flop he had, and then they're like, we're done with you.
Yeah,
like a lot of other actors get a flop and they can come back from it. Especially
the love guru.
Which he also doesn't need to act because the Shrek franchise is so financially profitable.
That's it too. Right?
But yeah, no, I don't think he's got that kind of.
It's kind of a shame the way I, and I think a lot of people my age, look at Austin Powers in that it was a great comedy. It's awesome. But every single person would quote Austin Powers everywhere you went for like 3 years. It's not the movie's fault.
It was your Borat, basically.
Yeah, it was like that. Yeah. Same kind of thing. But only it was worse because you had sequels.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
kept going. Yeah.
It never went away. So I almost like, it's hard for me to watch the movies and enjoy them as much as I. The first time I saw Austin Powers, I saw it the opening weekend before mm-hmm. any of the catchphrases had hit. I don't know too many times I've laughed that hard in a theater.
God, so funny.
Even like Vern Troyer, man, crushed it. Like,
oh, everybody. So funny.
So funny.
I mean, I laughed at the third one, but that's just me.
Third one's got its moments for sure.
Yeah, it does.
I would say first and second are definitely better, but it's still like not a huge gap.
Only one of them has Steven Spielberg and Tom Cruise in it.
That's true. The opening of three is so funny. And Danny DeVito, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take probably the only animated movie that's going to make it, and this might get vetoed, but I think this is about as high as it can go. South Park movie. South Park movie, bigger, longer, uncut, Academy Award nominated.
That came out in the 90s?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I thought it was 2000s too until I saw it on the list.
Wow.
I think just so fucking funny. I think it's just so stupid and holds up really well, and the music's great.
Okay. Here's my thought process. Those guys have a better movie on this list.
I disagree.
I
heavily,
disagree with that.
Heavily.
Yeah.
I just don't love the
South Park basketball, movie. But I don't think it's nearly as funny as this.
Baseball is not.
I think there's one scene from South Park movie I really like. I'm not saying like, hey, baseball is this great, hilarious comedy. I think it's good. I don't think it's top. I don't think it would be on this list either. But there's only one sequence I really love from the South Park movie.
Which one?
Just like the Satan stuff is funny. Like that stuff is always gonna play.
It's like the whole movie. He's in half the movie.
Their interactions are all great. Everything else outside of it, I don't think there's another.
Come on,
marquee.
Zane.
All right, that immediately veto. That just you secured the veto that impression right there.
I'm happy with the veto. Yeah, I don't think this belongs in the list, but like I have less. It did get like nominated for an Oscar, for the song, and like it was a cultural tipping point for a lot of. But I would appreciate if you vetoed this.
Yeah, I'm using the veto.
Okay. I tried, just so you guys hear me.
That's what I did with
Ace Ventura. I
tried. Yeah.
Okay. We got to shift gears now. I don't know if you guys will put this up there, but I think it belongs there. Just culturally alone, American Pie. Which I think is like the definitive teen comedy from my childhood.
It's hard to like place American Pie here because like it's a collection
Brother
of like
MILF.
There's a collection of like it, culturally, yes, like the pie thing, like all that stuff for sure. But it's like, is it that funny?
I think it's hilarious.
I don't know. What do you think?
I saw it when it came out in theaters, and I was the right age. I was that age. I was 18, and I laughed A little bit, but I walked out of there thinking, like, all right, that was a fine teen movie, but, like, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. It was fine.
Were you a virgin at this point?
No. When did it come out? 98?
See, it's a lot funnier. 99? It's a lot funnier before you've come.
I mean, we're talking, like, you know, I was pretty new to the game, you know? I wasn't experienced. No, but, like, I just lived it. I mean, like, I was literally the right age to see this movie when it came out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the perfect age. And, it's fine. I rewatched it for the Quantum Week show, yeah. I used to do, and it's fine.
Use the veto.
You can use it.
I'm then. Not going to use it here because
get double vetoed.
Because we only get one more. Right? This is the last one we can use.
This would be like I've used mine. He's used his.
So I I have to hold on to it. I think.
Yeah.
I'm fine. It made a lot of money. It was an important movie of time, and it created a bunch of things. It's fine. I would never put it on here, but it's fine.
Yeah. So American Pie off the board. Now you're back up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, come on. Give us your artsy fartsy. Is there another Wes Anderson comedy on the board?
No, I am going to go artsy fartsy here. So how many more picks do I get then?
You'll be getting, I believe, one.
We could just make it 12, so it's three peak, or four picks each. I know how to do math.
You can make it 12? Okay.
Yeah. So we're, I guess that so changes the entire draft. So actually, no, we should probably not do that.
What's that? We've got 12?
Yeah, because we started at 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we can just shift that down to that's now 12. Like, Rushmore was 10, now it's 12. You know what I'm saying? And then Austin Powers is now 11, American Pie is now 10.
We'll do 10 and then throw some honorable mentions in at the end.
All right, so I have three picks then, right? And we each have three picks. Well, I guess I would have four. I guess someone has four.
Yeah, you can be our guest and have four.
All right.
Yeah. It gets hard, right?
I'm jostling between movies that I think are the funniest things in the world and movies that, like,
are broad appeal.
Right.
Funny,
like, for instance, like, Swingers to me is like an all time comedy. But, like, I have a hard time putting it that high when you have, like, you know, Home Alone's on the list.
Sure.
So I'm kind of, like, struggling with that. Where are you guys going? Are you guys going more like your personal favorites? Are you guys going more like combinations or?
I would say like it has to hit an intersection of, like, I think it is very funny personally, but also I know most people think it is funny.
You know what I'm going to put it there? Wayne's World.
Wayne's World?
Wayne's World is a movie that did both. It's very funny and it hits. But there's two movies that I need to.
Is that the best of the SNL movies?
Yes, by far. Not even close. Booze Brothers is two. I think. Or maybe you could put MacGruber.
I was going to say MacGruber. Like those three, but I would say that.
But, like, it's not even. Like, to me, it's Wayne's World. Like, and there's other movies are here. And then there's a real basement. Coneheads.
For Coneheads and Blues Brothers 2000.
Yeah.
And was it. Fuck, it's Pat.
It's Pat. Might be the worst of them.
It's Pat and fucking
Night of the Roxbury.
Superstar is an SNL movie.
Superstar is an SNL movie.
Yeah. Ladies Man. Ladies Man
is better than some of the other movies.
Yeah, it's definitely better than that, but those that bottom basement. God, I forgot about it. It's Pat. Oh, how the fuck did that happen? But Wayne's World, great pick. And culturally relevant, funny, their chemistry at that point, even if they were beefing at the time. Because I guess that was more Wayne's World 2.
Wayne's World 2. But, like, when I walked out of that theater, like, I was thinking, like, I was also, like, 13, but I was like, this is the funniest thing. So, like, that was, like, you know how, like, you walk out of the theater and you, like, have that high?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have that high with American Pie, but I had it with Wayne's World.
Funny, yeah, funny. Has some good meta in it. It points to, it's a good-ass movie.
I'm surprised you didn't go, Swingers!
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Swing!
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Great movie.
Yeah, it's kind of it's tough here in the middle because I know there's movies I want at the top, but I can always just kind of like save for that. I think I'm comfortable saying Happy Gilmore here. Are you guys okay with that?
I think so. I think it has to be on the list.
Yep.
I'll never veto Happy Gilmore or like I guess it's like the question is it Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison? I think Happy Gilmore is probably the better movie, right?
I think Happy Gilmore is definitely better
and the more quoted, more lasting.
Yeah.
People still. Go back to it.
It's hard because Billy Madison came out first.
Dude. It did, but I don't think it has stayed around the way Happy Gilmore has.
It didn't. I saw both in the theaters, and I saw Happy Gilmore when I saw that in the theaters. It was incredible. Billy Madison, though, because I had never seen anything like it before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
What the fuck? This is like the greatest thing of all time.
I will say.
But I'll never veto either of those movies.
Billy Madison does have the advantage of having both Chris Farley and Norm MacDonald in the movie, and they are really fucking
funny. They're really
funny. They're very fucking funny in that movie.
I went and rewatched Billy Madison after Happy Gilmore 2 came out, and I gotta say, like, it's still very funny. There are parts of it, especially in the first, like the opening part of it, where it's just a whole joke of everything is just Adam Sandler.
He's
doing
too. He's you go back to it. Voice. He's like too dumb almost.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
it's him doing being screaming and doing a mentally challenged impression. Like it's
the same.
Bad.
It's the same screaming problem with the Water Boy.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough.
It's the
tough.
Same problem with the Water Boy. You go back and watch it. You're like, this is still funny, but there are some parts where it's like, holy shit.
See, I think,
and it's not that he's doing that. It's just the way he like. It's just that isn't as funny.
I like Billy Madison way more than Water Boy.
I would agree with you on that.
But no, I'm fine. I'm fine with Happy Gilmore. I mean, it's a great movie.
So Happy Gilmore off the board.
Oh, again, Gooch. Wasn't thinking at all. Oh, God. Oh, God. All right. I got to take this out. Man, that needs to be at the top.
Yeah, I'm
trying to think of when my next pick will be. So I'll pick at 3 or I'll pick at 4.
You will pick at 3, I believe.
Okay. All right.
Or maybe 2.
No, 2.
Right. 2, sorry.
You'll pick at 2. Pick at 2.
Okay, okay. I got to make sure I have at least can get this one movie in the top 3. Before that, though, I'm going to put, man, this is where it becomes like, I like some movies better, but some have made me laugh a lot harder. I'm going to go with My Cousin Vinny.
My Cousin Vinny.
Which is maybe not the funniest movie on this list, but just a delightful movie with iconic performances all around. And it's one of those movies that I can watch with my parents, watch with kids today. And like, it just, it really holds up. Like, you can go back to that movie, and it doesn't miss a beat.
Yeah, it's weird kind of assessing My Cousin Vinny, too, because I think it's a better movie than Happy Gilmore, Wayne's World, American Pie, Austin Powers. It's a better movie than all those. Is it a better comedy? Like, I don't... That's where it's a little bit different. Like,
I still think Pesci is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Tomei is so funny. Like, I still think there's very funny stuff in there. It's just like... There's more of a story to it. There's a little bit more substance.
It's definitely a lot less laughs than probably anything on this list so far. Other than maybe Rushmore, like out loud laughs. Like, I would say...
I think this might be the... But this is truly a comedy because, like, I mean, when she won the Oscar, it was like, holy shit, somebody... You know, although it had happened with Jack Palance, too. But, like, Palance and Tomei each won Oscars for comedies, which you just never see nowadays.
So, My Cousin Vinny off the board.
Also ages really well.
Yes.
Very well. Yes. And every back and forth with Pesci and the judge alone. Just
Oh, Fred Gwynne's so funny.
Yeah. You're back up, Clemmer.
Okay. So, this is number 4?
It's number 4.
I'm going to go with Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day?
This top. Is, I don't know.
We had help.
On August 21st.
We have a story.
Mutiny arrives on the big screen.
Who are you?
It is, trust me.
Jason Statham stars in the action movie to end your summer.
What do you want?
Vengeance.
Mutiny. Rated R.
Maybe the most like zen or I don't know, like closest thing I have to a religious experience of any movie. Like it's like, all right, like this is kind of like how you should live your life. And like what do you value in life? And like what's important to you? And what are relationships with people like? And what does it mean to be kind to people? And it has all of those things. And Bill Murray with such a great performance, just such an asshole in the beginning of this movie, is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really, this is the most beautiful comedy I've ever seen. I would have it higher than 4 if I could, but I'm afraid of just have another one ahead of it. But yeah, I don't know. This movie means a lot to me as a person, as a human being.
Yeah, and it's, I think, a good meld, like you were saying before, of like comedy and story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Both, which I think is tough to do. Like, give it almost like maybe like Palm Springs in a way. That's the first thing I kept at the top of my head, where it's like you get an actually good, like, heartfelt story about like your, like, how you live your life, but also very funny, hysterical moments.
Yeah, so. I'd say it's very throwback in that sense. Like, 40s, like, Jimmy Stewart would have starred in this role.
Yes.
Like, years ago.
Right. He kind of,
And for that reason, like, I think that's why it has that timeless nature to it and why it keeps getting ripped off. Like, people try to make their Groundhog Day over and over and over again. Great pick. Love that movie.
Groundhog Day. Okay, so now we're at number 3, which is mine. There's two movies which I'm praying are going to be in the top 2 from you guys. And so I'm going to take a leap of faith and hope that they are. And I'll just go with, like, I guess the next one up for me, which would be There's Something About Mary.
Yes!
There's Something About Mary is... And not only is it like probably the last time we're going to see a comedy in like the top 5 grossing of a year, you know what I mean? Like,
I hope you're wrong. I don't want to live in that world.
I hope so, too. But it was not only was insanely like high grossing, it's super fucking funny. Like, great jokes, great story too, on top of all that. Like, the rom-com element of it is fantastic. Dylan's great, Stiller's great, Diaz is awesome. That was like probably like, how long after The Mask was that?
Four years.
Four or five years, yeah.
It came out in 1999, Mask came out in 1995, so 4 years.
Yeah.
So this is like right in Cameron Diaz's like wheelhouse. This came out the same year, I believe, as Maybe this was 98. 99 was Any Given Sunday. Like, she, this was a star Cameron Diaz.
Yes. She crushed it. I think there's so many funny lines, iconic moments. Like, the ball zip alone, like, haunted my nightmares as a kid. Like, every time I was zip up.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, Keith David, even in that sequence. Super
oh, my
fun.
God.
Mm-hmm. So good. Boogie. Like, it's just like, everything about it is, I love that movie. Fantastic. Also timeless, I think, for the most part. Like, people, I'm sure, complain about the Dylan I work with thing, but like, oh, I'm sure there will be those people. I think that's timeless. I think it's,
I mean, I rewatched it a few months ago and I laughed just as hard. I feel like just hard, like, are those Nepalese coins? Like, and yeah, it's just like, I mean, it's just everything, you know, and even like I keep them in cages. Like,
yeah.
Just crazy. It's so funny. I'm so glad you picked this.
I think this might be the movie I laughed the hardest at. Yeah. On the entire list. Like, there's, like, Cameron Diaz putting cum in her hair, like, legit, yeah. Like, made me lose my mind when I was 10 years old. Like, I was just too good.
What have the Farrelly brothers been doing lately?
Well, they split it.
Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah.
Ricky Stenicki, baby.
Ricky Stenicki from the other one. That's right. Which wasn't terrible.
Bobby Farrelly. Yeah. Didn't Bobby Farrelly do that one?
I think Peter Farrelly. Yeah. So, there's something about Mare of the Board, Gucci, your last pick.
This is number two.
Yeah. There's two.
I think there's two that are very interchangeable here. I'll take the one I want to talk about, which is Office Space.
Okay. Gosh, I love fucking Office
Space. Okay, now all the pressure's on me. Oh, fuck. Okay.
I mean, Office Space is one. It's still, we want the timeless comedies.
Yes, I think this is the one that only gets better as it ages.
As you grow up with
As you get older with it, yes, it gets better and better and better. And just so funny and so endlessly quotable. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, the story and like the things it wants to explore are like perfect. Like, it's a comedy with substance while also being laugh out loud funny, which is just so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So good. Every guest role in that, too. Like, what's his name? The guy plays Cox.
McGinnis?
John McGinley.
John McGinley.
He's in Platoon. He's in
I just watched Point Break last night.
So. Yeah.
Most famous in Scrubs.
Young, but, dumb, and full of cum.
I think he's in like Seven, too. Like, I think I was watching Seven. Yeah, he's a fucking SWAT guy. Like, but he's so funny. Fucking
Bob's.
Yeah,
what,
dude,
what would you
Root,
say
right?
you do here?
Yeah.
I mean, what's his face? Steven Root. Yeah, so good.
Steven Root, dude.
Took my
Dietrich
stapler.
Bader.
Yep. As the neighbor. Baker, hey, Bader man.
Yeah, Bader man.
This is the funniest movie I've ever seen. This is a favorite comedy. I saw it in the theaters. I was the one person who saw it in the theaters. Me and my buddy. It is, to this day, still the greatest comedy I've ever made. Mm. Like, in my opinion. I think it is.
If someone said that's their number one comedy, I wouldn't fight them on it even a little bit.
Is my favorite comedy, the funniest movie I've ever seen, and it still holds up to this day. It's
the
incredible.
Printer scene. Who's the actor that plays the Lumberg?
Gary Cole.
Yeah,
I
Gary
need
Cole.
You to
oh my God,
come
he's
in this
excellent.
Weekend and
the perfect dickhead boss, and like the way he just perfectly captures corporate life in a way that has not changed. By the
no,
way.
Like, and like not just corporate life, also like service industry life, which they kind of wheel in on like the B plot with Jennifer Aniston.
Yes,
like,
yes,
it's like the most miserable thing ever. Working like it's awful.
Lumberg Factor, like that whole
Lumberg Factor. Yeah. Jump to conclusions, Matt. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, there's so many jokes, but just how it exposes kind of the hypocrisy of the culture. Like, oh, it's Hawaiian Shirt Friday, and like you're supposed to be happy about that, and the birthday cake you're supposed to be happy about. Yeah. But there's such menial, small things. But meanwhile, they want you to give your life to them. Like, oh, come in on Saturday, come in on Sunday. And they ask you in a way, but they're not really asking. Mm-hmm. Like, can you come in? But then he calls them like a million times to come in. Like, it just shows you like how horribly just bleak that whole world is.
Exactly. There's something like and Mike Judge, I feel like still, and that was like really early days for him, like still absolutely gets it.
Yeah, that was post Beavis and Butthead. It was, but it was before
King of the Hill, right?
Before King of the Hill, I think, or right around the time King of the Hill started, and he had done these like little snippets of Milton, the Office guy, for MTV, and they were little like 1 minute cartoons of Milton.
Mm-hmm.
So like, Mike Judge was still like this kind of edgier MTV type guy that you saw that now was doing these major movies. It's great.
Even like Silicon Valley, I think, crushed it.
Oh,
so funny,
so funny,
effortlessly funny, and like I think he's so good at capturing like a real life thing so well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Idiocracy is very funny.
Oh my God, so good and weirdly prophetic in a lot of ways. But yeah, dude, Office Space is so good, and I think this leaves space for Clemmer for the number one overall pick.
All right, let's. You guys said there's an obvious one for me. there's not an obvious one.
There's one where if it does not make it on this list, we're going to get crucified.
So we need to collaborate then on this. Then I'm using my veto to collaborate together.
Okay,
like an anti-veto.
Okay,
because here's what I would go. I mean, and I know this is not what you guys are thinking because it's way too obscure. But I'm thinking almost like I would go like Kingpin.
Okay, I love Kingpin.
But you guys have something else in mind.
I think it's got to be Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, okay.
See, I wasn't thinking.
I missed
Dumber.
That.
I
was thinking Tommy Boy.
Oh, Dumb and Dumber. No, Dumb and Dumber.
I think Dumb and Dumber is like Dumb and Dumber by far the like number one. Yes. Like someone says, name a 90s comedy. It's Dumb and Dumber.
I like Office Space more, but I think it has to be Dumb and Dumber.
See, I was thinking, because again, that's another one Tommy Boy people quote nonstop, but I think you're actually kind of right. Dumb and Dumber does.
Yes, Dumb and Dumber needs to be on the list.
Like, I think that like shot Jim Carrey into a stratosphere that just people just do not get to. Like, it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And surprisingly, it shouldn't hold up. It does. Like, you go back and rewatch it, all that stupid shit fucking still plays.
Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey in three movies in 1994. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, The Mask, Mask Man, 94, I said 94. That was the summer. And Dumb and Dumber in the winter.
Yeah. And then just did like Liar Liar and fucking Cable Guy and like
Cable Guy, Liar Liar. Yeah. But imagine that year. I remember in January he was known as the In Living Color guy. And by the end of the year he was the biggest movie star in the world. Which
he was
is
like
crazy.
Pedro Pascal except actually doing stuff. You know what I mean?
I like Pedro Pascal. I'm not going to take Pedro Pascal hate on this show.
It's not hatred. I'm saying they actually was given the opportunity to do stuff in these movies. You know what I mean? That's one thing I'm really like about
it. And he did 6 months of In Living Color that same year.
The crazy.
Yes.
He was still on Living Color? Yep. Holy
now, there were obviously some of those were taped, but yes. And he did. It was all happening that same year.
Jesus. I thought he was gone, but I guess it would have been. Yeah, that checks out.
94, the biggest, and then the Mask launched Cameron Diaz. Like, what? Just incredible. I bet Dumb and Dumber, absolutely. It's not my favorite comedy. It's definitely in my top.
I don't think it's my favorite comedy either, but I think it is like the definitive 90s comedy when I think about 90s comedy.
I agree.
So some of the other ones on our list, by the way, and our total list is number one, Dumb and Dumber, then Office Space, There's Something About Mary, Groundhog Day, My Cousin Vinny, Happy Gilmore, Wayne's World, American Pie, Austin Powers 1, and Rushmore. We are going to absolutely get crucified for not having Tommy
Boy. This is a great mix of movies, and we are going to get yelled at.
Massacred.
There's so many good ones.
Waiting for Guffman on there, Election on there. Clerks, I had on there. Clerks is very funny. It's not, like, to me, in my brain, I'm like, wow, that's a definitive comedy. Like, it's a good movie.
Oh, it is.
It's an iconic.
It was such an important movie,
iconic,
too.
Important, like, culturally relevant movie, but, like, it's not one where it screams out to me, like, yeah, that and Tommy Boy are in the same, like, fighting against in the same field. They're. You know what I mean? That's
a tough one to go back and watch too, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Like it's very much of the times.
Of the
times. And the way they talk.
For sure.
Well, Kevin Smith movies don't age. I mean, if you turn like 18, Kevin Smith movies are no longer funny. I will say Clerks though is the one that I feel like does last the longest. Like it's like Mallrats dies when you turn like 19.
Yeah.
But like Clerks is still, I think it's still okay. It's still pretty good.
I still like bits and pieces of Clerks.
I had it 100 on my top 100 movie list of the 90s.
Oh yeah. Clerks 2, Rosario Dawson.
Rosario Dawson. Big Daddy on there too. Basketball we mentioned. Liar Liar we mentioned. Robin Hood Men in Tights I have a very soft spot in my heart for. I thought that was very funny. Billy Madison we talked about. The Mask we mentioned a little bit. Mask is super funny.
Oh yeah.
Super super funny. Although in the pantheon of Jim Carrey 90s I think not in the top two. Kingpin, you just mentioned. Kingpin's, we can talk more about. Kingpin's so
Kingpin
funny.
To me is deserves to be on this list. I guess I never used my veto. I probably should have used it somehow. I don't know how I would have forced Kingpin in, but Kingpin is, Bill Murray should have been nominated for an Oscar for that role. I mean, that was incredible. He's the ultimate bad guy.
So
Woody Harrelson's so great. It's such a funny movie. But I guess how many Farrelly Brothers movies can we have in there? We already have two on there. Like, you know, three of them.
Hot Shots also. Mm-hmm. People love Hot Shots. I've always like enjoyed it. I'm not like in my top of that grouping either. Both Naked Gun sequel movies, 2.5 and 33 and a third.
Absolutely not 33.
No.
All due respect.
There's one or two lines in which are very funny. But
yes.
What is it called? 6'2 mustache? Yeah. Awfully big mustache. Like, that still kills. Black Sheep, which I've always liked too. Not in this.
But that's like clearly like Tommy Boy is the one you're going to watch.
Yes. Heavyweights, which I've always liked too. That's a great kids movie. Blue Streak, I've always thought was solid. Swingers, we can talk more about Swingers. It's very fun.
Swingers should be on this list too, I think. Although it's just tough because even when it came out, no one really saw it. But it did launch Jon Favreau, did launch Vince Vaughn. Mm-hmm. I think it holds up really well. It's very funny. It's funny though, I'll show it to like girlfriends and wives that I've had. Girls don't seem to have the same connection. It's definitely a guy, which I guess makes sense, but more than almost any movie I've ever loved, guys like it more.
Home Alone, which you talked about a little bit as well. And the Cable Guy, which people weren't ready for Cable Guy.
No.
I think the audience were not ready for not what Cable Guy had to offer just yet. But I think still very funny movie.
Ben Stiller. Directed that.
Is the Burbs on there?
Burbs. It came out in the
80s. Yeah.
Oh, late 80s, right? I only bring that up because I do think that is Akiva Schaffer's next project.
Burbs remake?
Or no. Sorry, Seth MacFarlane's next project is he's doing a Burbs remake.
He did produce Naked Gun, if he didn't mention that before.
Yes. Interesting.
Which you know I was thinking about before. Do you remember he was really funny in Logan Lucky as like a British NASCAR driver?
Seth MacFarlane? One of the funniest guys alive.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't get I feel like he's Family Guy is kind of like just not sullied because it's an entire reputation, but like it's changed the way people view him. He's so fucking funny.
I mean, the Ted series should have been dog shit and somehow was hilarious.
Yeah, honestly, same thing with like A Million Ways to Die with the West as far as like his live action ability.
Yeah,
he's still very good. You mentioned Gross Point Blank, which I've never watched. I actually should watch
that. Oh, you should watch that. I think you'd like it a lot. It's very good. John Cusack plays a hitman, goes back to his high school reunion.
All right,
and,
I'm in.
Minnie Driver's in it, and Minnie Driver's at her like most charming. You get Jeremy Piven before he Entourage stuff.
Real hair.
Dan Aykroyd's in it. It's a movie I like a lot.
And then lastly, City Slickers, which you put in your notes, and I would agree with this, not your favorite, but it did win an Oscar. I would agree, but as far as like 90s comedies go, it's stuff that deserves at least a mention.
I think it just mentioned, like I said, I rewatched it for Quantum Week. It's fine. It's just because it won an Oscar, like a major Oscar, I think it needed to be mentioned. But
yeah. So again, Dumb and Dumber, Office Space, There's Something About Mary, Groundhog Day, My Cousin Vinny, Happy Gilmore, Wayne's World, American Pie, Austin Powers 1, and Rushmore. It's funny, a lot of these have very bad sequels. Like,
oh, yeah.
Dumb and Dumber 2.
Comedy sequels stink.
Dumb and Dumber 2 is one of the worst movies I think I've ever seen.
Comedy sequels are horrible. Caddyshack.
I think they made a direct-to-view Office Space sequel, unless I'm crazy. Like, a direct-to-view. Unless I'm crazy.
I don't know.
I will not look into that.
No.
Yeah.
I will not look into that.
I don't think so.
Happy Gilmore has a sequel now. Wayne's World 2, not nearly as good as Wayne's World 1, although.
I would say that's probably the best sequel out of them all, though.
American Pie sequels are not good.
Look, if you're a bigger guy like us, have you ever bought a shirt that technically fits, but it doesn't, like, actually fit? That's why this is my favorite brand of all f***ing time. One Bone. I'm in love with everything that I put on today. In fact, I would say I've never loved a brand more than One Bone. Trust me, you guys are going to romanticize getting dressed in the morning. That's what One Bone does. Go to onebone.com and upgrade to a fit that is actually built for you. Use code Barstool for 20% off to see the difference firsthand. After one wear, you'll understand why standard fits don't make the cut.
Austin Powers. I would say I like
Austin Powers.
Okay, yes. Austin Powers sequels are good.
I like, was it Spy of Shagney's second one, right?
Yes.
I like Spy of Shagney.
Heather Graham.
Oh, Heather Graham. Yes. My God, in this period.
I was thinking, like, you could put, like, as far as just, like, how many times I laugh, like, Boogie Nights.
Oh,
it's not a comedy. I get it. Like, it blockbusters, that'd be in the drama section.
Yeah.
But I laugh more at Boogie Nights than I do at most other movies.
A pitch black comedy.
Yeah.
That's dark.
Very dark.
It's very Sopranos comedy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so a good list. What do we have next week? Is
Weapons, baby.
Weapons.
Oh yeah,
which is getting
Weapons
raved.
Comes out on Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. Friday,
yeah. There's like three movies coming out, and they're very different. One's called Sketch, which is an Angel Studios movie. I forget who stars in it.
Oh boy.
And then you have Weapons, which is dark, potentially very frightening movie. And then what
great
else?
Great praise, getting a ton of praise right now. Weapons, obviously, like Jordan Peele fired his team because they didn't win the bid.
Oh, and
it.
Then Freakier Friday. So it's a very strange.
That's this week.
Yes.
So we have it is Freakier Friday, Weapons, My Mother's Wedding, Strange Harvest, all in the same weekend.
And then Sketch. And don't forget Sketch.
Sketch the day a couple days before.
Yes.
And The Pickup with Pete
and,
Davidson.
I still haven't seen Together yet.
Together?
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Getting to that. But Freaky Friday, the one thing I did see that was funny, I think Regal's doing it. They have like, you know, like the popcorn buckets everyone does. Theirs is they give you a popcorn bucket that's a drink, and they give you a drink that's a popcorn bucket.
Oh.
Which, funny. It's a goofy little thing. I liked it. So yeah, we'll be doing Weapons next week. We should get a crew for that, I think.
Yeah.
I think we were talking with Fights about it, maybe because I'm going away, but maybe Monday. So, but
this is the following Monday after.
That might be too late for some people. But
we'll watch it probably beforehand to go to review.
But if you guys end up like digging it, come back out with us maybe on Monday.
I mean,
If I like it, see it again.
I'll go see it again for sure. So make sure you check out Weapons, the next movie from Zach Cregger, who we're very excited for. Love Barbarian, and all the reviews for this are crazy good. Like super big hype about how great it is. So we'll see you guys next week.